Hello, and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week, and we'll be discussing due diligence and third-party oversight in emerging markets with Kevin Brain, a managing director at Kroll, who heads up their practice for the Europe, Middle East, and Africa regions. My first question, specific to Europe and the Middle East, what are the most pressing compliance risks his clients face? Everyone worries about bribery, but we also hear a lot of news these days about AML, human trafficking, and other risks. What's the surging issue or issues?
Well, certainly for both European and Middle Eastern clients, modern slavery is suddenly, front of mind, partly because there's been so much media attention, and a lot of the Middle Eastern and GCC countries in particular are keen to show that they are tackling this issue in the wake of some pretty bad publicity linked to some big infrastructure construction projects, the World Cup in particular, that made the headlines in Western newspapers. And also because everyone is lining up, everyone at least who has an exposure to the UK is trying to line up and make sure they are ready to comply with a newly enforced Modern Slavery Act, which came into play in October. In terms of regulation, there's also much more pressure on the AML front with the upcoming fourth directive. There is, in Europe and in the Middle East, more requirements to track down UBOs, both in the regulated sector, but also for corporates. And these are all things that are essentially getting compliance officers and compliance teams, keeping them busy in the European region as well as in the Middle East.
How can compliance officers push these responsibilities onto business managers in emerging markets, as these are the folks who will really be doing the work? How do you get that done and done well?
Compliance programs that work well are programs that involve, include, and rely to some extent on the commercial unit, on the business managers on the ground, because they are the people who have the relationships with the third parties who expose organizations to risk. They are the ones essentially onboarding new relationships. They know the countries better often than the folk in a centralized compliance function back at a corporate headquarters will be, and they need to be heavily involved. Now, when I say being involved, I mean they need to both be aware of the regulations that are applicable and need to be complied with. They need to be part of a formal onboarding process. They need to sign off to their risk team that, to their best knowledge, the third party that they're dealing with are suitable for the purpose that they're being contracted with. And so compliance officers need to work really closely with business managers. At the same time, compliance teams need to be business friendly. And again, where we see compliance programs that don't work quite as well as they could, it tends to be because the processes are too slow. When a business needs to sign up a distributor to be able to access a Middle Eastern market, they usually need the risk process to last hours or days rather than weeks or months. And so having a program that is tailored to the need, that is proportionate, that controls the risk, but that also really works for the business is key. In most cases, it's the local P&Ls that end up bearing the cost of the compliance work that's done, either directly or through a group discharge. So compliance officers do need to remember that the business managers are their clients and need to behave and have that sort of relationship where you are both dealing with a client, but you're also a gatekeeper and a safekeeper of your company's reputation.
We gave Brain a scenario. You've onboarded a new third party and the initial screening has gone well. But what are the challenges to monitoring compliance after that? You can't simply audit every third party you have constantly.
The key challenge is keeping your compliance program fresh. The UK Bribery Act talks about constant monitoring. The SEC has given guidance about the fact that a compliance program needs to review all relationships within an appropriate time frame. And it is a huge challenge because in some cases, the number of third parties organizations are dealing with makes it very difficult to have a one-size-fits-all set of checks that are done on a regular basis. Organizations need to make the most of technology that's available and above all need to have a sensible risk assessment allowing them to segment their third-party population into tranches through a risk-based approach. If you have a very low-risk relationship, your monitoring can be limited to simply ensuring that the factors that make that relationship low risk remain constant. If you have a higher risk relationship, you need to run full checks on a much more regular basis. And on the highest risk relationships, the financial sector, which is probably the most sophisticated when it comes to these programs because of their regulatory obligation, have live monitoring in place that is sophisticated and scalable. And the second challenge is when you have thousands of third parties being constantly monitored for risks, you need to have the resources to actually act when your monitoring program actually flags something. So if you don't calibrate your risk assessment properly, you could have a risk team inundated with new potential risks flagged by monitoring and unable to actually process these. And that's when a program starts to run into difficulties. In some instances, you can push the responsibility for at least some of the monitoring, some of the updating of your compliance files back onto third parties themselves. It's fairly well established best practice now to have yearly disclosure requirements for suppliers, vendors, distributors, or other types of third parties. And depending on the responses that come back every year, you can adjust the risk assessment that you have for this organization and adjust the level of monitoring. For example, if you imagine an organization having a relationship with a distributor in Finland, the relationship has a relatively low dollar value. The relationship does not involve government officials. It's a low-risk relationship or a low-risk relationship. You probably can have a very light touch monitoring in place, perhaps even limited to going back in an automated way every year and asking the Finnish counterparty to confirm that nothing has changed at their end. The minute they come back to you and their compliance questionnaire states that they've started operating in other countries, they've started taking other tasks for you, they're suddenly dealing with government officials on your behalf, that's when you start upgrading the type of monitoring and the type of due diligence that you have in place for that particular relationship. And it's having those triggers in place and being able to react to it that is, I believe, one of the biggest challenges of a ongoing monitoring program.
We've covered some of the general challenges that companies face, but we asked Brain to get specific in terms of geography. Are there challenges that are unique to the Middle East?
Well, for clients based in the Middle East who are bringing online new compliance program, there is a late adopter bonus in some respect. there's a lot of best practice that can be brought into play, and that we're seeing large organizations in the Emirates and in other GCC countries essentially put in place from scratch. In the Middle East, like in the rest of the world, it becomes much more challenging when you have an established compliance program and a large established set of third parties, and you try to radically change the way your compliance works and the extent to which you monitor or screen third-party relationships. So that's something we're seeing quite a lot in the Middle East with organizations that perhaps haven't had that strong a compliance function in the past, really trying to bring something much more sophisticated into play and having the usual teething and legacy issues, while newer organizations find it easier to start from scratch because they don't have to deal with a historical batch of third parties who have to be educated about the fact they now need to comply with certain compliance and regulatory requirements. The Middle East is, for foreign companies operating in the Middle East, there is always the challenge that there are many Middle Eastern jurisdictions where by law you have to partner or at least have a local shareholder or director or joint venture partner in order to set up in country. And that means that you're forced to have maybe more third-party relationships than you might have if you went in and simply opened a subsidiary wholly owned by your parent organization. So that very much is a challenge. The last challenge is access to data. And there's been huge sort of positive step forwards in terms of disclosures and the quality and availability of corporate filings in many Middle Eastern countries. Much of that information is difficult to automate into sort of compliance systems because Arabic characters don't work with certain systems, because there is still a lot of information that needs to be accessed locally in hard copy, and that's a particular challenge for a compliance team.
That was Kevin Brain, a managing director at Kroll, who heads up their practice for the Europe, Middle East, and Africa regions. We've been discussing due diligence and third-party oversight in emerging markets. This is Joe Mont, staff writer at Compliance Week, and I thank you for listening.